The Lord be with you.
And with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion approached him and appealed to him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, suffering dreadfully." He said to him, "I will come and cure him." The centurion said in reply, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you enter under my roof. Only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man subject to authority, with soldiers subject to me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come here,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Amen, I say to you, in no one in Israel have I found such faith. I say to you, many will come from the east and the west and will recline with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the banquet in the kingdom of heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. A thought for you for the day. If you ever want to convince anyone of anything, there's three stages you have to pass through. Okay, three stages. The first stage is you gotta earn their trust. Nobody's gonna listen to what you have to say unless they're first convinced that you are someone that they can trust. Back before I taught high school, a wise priest told me, "Remember this, you gotta earn the right to teach kids religion." And what I've come to discover is that that's true for everybody, right? You gotta earn the right to teach anybody about the things of God. Trust always comes first. Once you got their trust, the next stage is curiosity. I find people are bubbling over with an infinitude of questions, and they start coming out, and once you satisfy their curiosity and you realize that you're on the same page, then finally you go on to the last stage, the stage of openness. And at last you can begin to teach people, right? And we always have to pass through all of these three stages, no matter what it is. It's whether you're trying to teach somebody a lesson or whether you're trying to sell somebody a product, and it's certainly true when you're trying to convert somebody to the faith. And the greatness of the saints was that they mastered the first step with the force of their holiness. They earned the people's trust. That's true for all the saints, and it's definitely true for the saint whose feast day we celebrate today, Saint Francis Xavier. Apart from the days of the apostles, Saint Francis Xavier is probably the greatest evangelizer in history. He went from his native Spain to India and Indonesia and Sri Lanka and Japan and the islands off the coast of China in the 1600s, back in days in which travel to such places was about as remote and inaccessible as travel to the moon, right? Francis Xavier was born in Spain in the year 1506. And back then, a young Italian master named Leonardo was just finishing his work on one of his paintings that he would go on to call the Mona Lisa. And in Rome, all the town was abuzz. They'd just broken ground on a great big new church that they would call St. Peter's Basilica. And a young Italian master had just finished his work on a painting on a fresco that would be known as the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. And up north in Germany, a young scholar was just finishing up his studies. He'd make a splash in about 10 years' time, and his name was Martin Luther. And the church was in a state of decay. Everything on the outside looked great. We had the most magnificent buildings in the world, and the finest universities, and all up and down the countryside. You ask anybody a question, whether they're Catholic, and they'll say, "Sure, I'm a Catholic." Not sure whether they meant it, but that's what they'd say. And the church was dying from the inside out. And it's in such times that God raises up saints. And in God's eternal providence, he decreed that a young man named Francis Xavier should be born into this world. And he was born wealthy and well-connected. Francis Xavier was born in a castle. And his parents were personal friends with the Spanish nobility and royalty. He wanted for nothing. He was highly intelligent, multilingual, earned himself a doctorate, and he was powerfully ambitious. He was going places in life. And if you asked him about the gospel, you know, it would disturb him and he'd shuffle off and change the topic and talk about something more worldly where his heart was. You know, but Francis Xavier had a conversion experience. He was reading from the gospel according to St. Mark. And he came across the words of our Lord that said, "What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses himself in the process?" And he began to pray. And his life changed. And he happened to come across another young Spaniard named Ignatius of Loyola, who convinced him to give his life away to God as a priest. And he began to study to be a priest, and he became one of the first Jesuits. And in his fame and in his skills and in his intellect, it was no less than the King of Portugal who sent him off first to the missions in Portuguese India. And this after reading from the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis, in which God said to Abram, "Go now, leave your land, leave your family, leave all the customs that you know, and go to a land that I will show you." And that's what Francis Xavier did. And when Francis Xavier arrived in the distant lands, he did not show up and get off the boat and say, "Okay, everybody, here's the Ten Commandments. You better memorize them before noon. There's going to be a quiz. And here's the catechism, and here's what you need to learn." He didn't do any of that. What did he do? He first earned their trust. He let them know that he could be a man who's trusted and good. And after that, he engaged their curiosity. He answered their questions. And then he began to teach them the faith. Once they knew how good his soul was, and that the questions they had were the questions this faith answered, they say he baptized 80,000 people, and people who had never heard the gospel before. And this is the way that we have to keep in mind as we enter into our own time, which is just as unbelieving as any land ever was that had never heard the gospel, except, you know, as C.S. Lewis once said, it's even harder in our own time. If we're trying to share the gospel with somebody for the first time, you know, it's like trying to woo over, it's trying to win over a lady for a first date. But in our time, it's like trying to win back a divorcee. Much harder task. We have to remember what Pope John Paul II said. He said, "The work of evangelization is first and foremost a work of your own holiness. The efficiency of the church and our efficacy doesn't depend on our programs, good as our programs are and good as they need to be. And it doesn't depend on our finances, important as finances are, right? It depends first and foremost on our holiness." This Pope Benedict was asked a question, and I don't know how recently this was. They asked Pope Benedict, "What do you think of the state of the church today?" And here's what he said. He said, "I think the church is vibrant and strong and alive and effective and active all across the world. It's just that I think that it's much smaller than most people realize." Much smaller. That small core of those who have given their lives over to Christ, those are the ones that are spreading the work of the Lord and spreading the message of the gospel in our own time. We might not have everything that we want, but let's not forget this. We have everything that we need. We have the Eucharist. We have the sacraments. We have the scriptures. We have the grace of our Lord. And let's not forget, we also have the prayers of the saints. We'll ask for those prayers to help us today as we continue the work of spreading the good news. St. Francis Xavier, pray for us.